So let's dive into this week's sermon and what it looks like for our church. And like I said, we transitioned this week's sermon into this 410 initiative in order to really grasp the idea of what it means to serve the church and be servants of the church. And this 410 initiative is truly a in-house, homegrown project that we are going to hopefully propel our church into a future of what it means to have the church serving, not just like the average 10% that do all the work. We're going to be a church that excels that, exceeds that as much as we can. See, this 410 project, as you've seen in the video clip, is something that we can get behind. It's easy to understand. It's easy to grasp. It's easy for us to know that it's important, right? It's easy to know that, of course, we should serve the church. But there are many of us that don't actually take that next step to volunteer. Or some of us are waiting for the ask, which I love being asked too. But sometimes we know our giftedness, and sometimes the responsibility really does fall on us to step up and rise up and meet the need of the church. This project, simply put, is all about service to the church. It's all about us answering the call from the one who calls us to serve his church. And very specifically, we're talking about the local church. And even more specifically than that, I'm to answer the call to serve Banner in this way. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today, because he is worthy and we are needy, and he is requiring our service because he calls us all to something. Now, uniquely, when you look at this part in December, we're going to be talking about a spiritual gifts assessment, and all of us will hopefully take that. And if you don't know your spiritual gifts, or maybe you have your head in the sand and you don't want to know your spiritual gifts because then you got to use them, we are hoping to explore that in December during our Sunday school hour and truly express what it means to find out our giftedness to serve our church. And this initiative is brought from not just a clever title of 410, like it was 410 in the afternoon and Sarah sat down and was like, oh, the 410 initiative, that's what it should be. No, she sought scripture first. And the first scripture, it comes from 1 Peter 4:10. And it's based on the gift each one has received. Use it to serve others as good managers of a varied grace of God. You see, the 410 initiative is something far more than any of us, because God calls us to serve his church and serve with responsibility. And today, in light of the 1 Peter 4:10 verse, we're going to be tackling 1 Corinthians 12. If you want to turn your Bibles there, 1 Corinthians 12, we will be there the majority of the sermon today. Because it is a piece of scripture that embodies the idea of service, of being one body, but many parts. And we're going to be talking about that throughout today. Because it truly is, this section of scripture, in light of the expectation of 1 Peter 4:10, highlights what it means to be a servant. And it also highlights what it means not to do. So let us dive deep and dive into what it means to look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 14. The first two verses that we'll be looking at is verses 14 through 16. And this is part of the don't do. Don't be a comparing servant. Don't be a comparing servant. If you look at this section of verses, it's called in 1 Corinthians 14, it is, so the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. In spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body. In spite of this, it still belongs to the body. So here's the question, and or maybe statement, and the lie that we tend to tell ourselves. I mean, not you. Of course, you're Banner, so it's not you. It's really, I'm talking to other people who listen to us online and YouTube and throughout the world. Pause for effect. There should be more laughing. That was a really good joke. The reality is, I can't serve like that guy or gal, so why bother serving at all? You sound so justified in your answer. But the reality is, if you read that verse again, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And you and all that you are and the way that you serve and the way that God has created you to serve the church, you are part of the body. You are not exempt from service and his call to do service to his church. And sometimes we fall into that comparing zone of what it truly means to, man, they are so good at serving, I'm just going to let them do it. I'm going to come in on Sunday morning, enjoy my coffee, because it just magically appears every Sunday. I'm thankful for my bulletin being handed out because it just magically appears in my hand. It's awesome. It's funny how purely magical church is. That all these things, the lights happen, the sound happens, the video tech guy happens, the videos happen, the audio recording happens, the music happens, all magically. And I'm thankful that I have a church that's so magical. That all these things happen without me doing a thing. Well, maybe you're actually falling for the lie that Satan tells us. Here's the truth part of it. In 17 through 20, in 1 Corinthians 12, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of us, of the parts, on the body, just as he wanted. And if they were all the same parts, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. You see, all of us here have, some of us have similar gifts. Some of our giftedness will look identical, and that is great. But there are so many parts of what it means to make up the church and the church body. And all these gifts, if you are the one who have all the gifts, first of all, look in the mirror, evaluate, maybe read some scripture on pride. It would be helpful to make sure that you know where you stand, truly, if you are that gifted. But if we all take the opportunity to use our gifts and to better the church, then how great it would be. See, God gifted you the way he did for a purpose. We're going to be talking about some examples later to even some of the smaller aspects. What about just try trusting him more in the way that he gifted you, in the way he encouraged you, the way he guided you? See, you have gifts because there is a need for it. You are here at Banner because there's a need for you to be here at Banner. There's a need to be filled. That need truly is to edify the body. Now, some of you be like, man, I like coffee, and there's some people making coffee, and I'm thankful they are making coffee. But you know how to make coffee. You see, if we had one more volunteer to help make coffee, then the person doing it would have to do it maybe every other month, or maybe even every third month, rather than every week or every other week, or sometimes a lot. See, we are to edify one another, to build each other up, support each other, come alongside each other. That is the truth of it all. See, we're all different, but one body. All different, but one body. Don't stop and look around and compare yourself to other people. I'm thankful they're doing it because I could not make coffee the way they make coffee. How about try serving? Try helping out. How about try encouraging one another? How about come alongside that ministry or children's ministry? If you look in your bulletin, you'll see several different things of that our children's ministry has needs for. You see, there's been so many people serving in our children's ministry for so long, sometimes you reach burnout because you've been serving for so long that you need a break. So come alongside them. Lift them up. Even if it's only for a season, even if you can only help out one Sunday school a month, volunteer. Let's say you don't have any kids, but you like kids, because liking kids is important for this next piece. Nursery always needs help. All you have to do is like kids. Now, don't lie and say you don't like kids. Because everybody, every time I show a picture, I'm like, oh, it's so cute. They are. We serve because God calls us to serve. And we use our abilities because it edifies the church. It lifts it up. But here's what happens. Here's how a comparing servant affects the body. It devalues themselves first. I can't do it as well as the other person. Devalues themselves. Never fully free to actually use their abilities or gifts because it's always, well, someone else can do it better. And it causes complacency. It causes complacency in what it means to actually serve your church and have your church have ministries and various avenues. All right, so enough about the negative side. What about another negative side? The competitive servant. Because it's important to mention two negatives when we talk about this type of thing. So 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 26 says this. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And I'm only going to read verse 21 first. I've got it under control. If I want it done right, I might as well just do it myself. Again, I'm not speaking to our church because none of us here would say that. But I will say this. That even I am guilty of those moments of just taking it on rather than asking for help. And so if your pastor leading you is guilty of that, what about the congregation? Maybe I'm leading you astray in those moments, in those times. See, that competitive servant is this. I can do it better, so I'll just do it myself. See, that's a negative as well, right? That's the wrong way to do it. Well, if you continue on in those verses, you look at verse 22 through 25, it says this. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need for clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. We are meant to be together. The body of Christ is meant to be together. We don't survive without one another. We are meant to use our gifts with one another, alongside one another, not in spite of one another. We are better together. And that truly represents the idea of what it means to understand our giftedness, understand our call, that He calls us to serve our church, and understand that the need to serve, whether you think someone else can do it better or whether you think you can do it better, serve alongside one another. Be alongside one another and encourage one another. Not in a competitive nature, because here's what I'm telling you. There is no I in team, right? You're all sports people, you understand that. There's no I in team. Well, here's another word that they don't have an I in. It's church. There's no I in church. And church is the body of Christ. There is no I in church. So although sometimes we try to do things on our own, we are not on our own, and nor should we. See, the competitive servant does this to the body. It devalues others. It devalues others. Never allows others to use their gifts to edify the body. And in this type of servant, there is nothing but conflict and division. Conflict and division in those moments because of the competitive servant. But here's the kind of servant that I'd like for you to be. I'd like for you to take on when it comes to verse 27. The Christ-centered servant. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. You are the body of Christ and individual members of it. See, he designed us to work as a body. And everyone from the oldest to the youngest is meant to fulfill your role in the body, in the church. You are not meant to work alone. Now, there are some jobs that require one person. Like if I'm carrying a piece of paper, I'm probably not going to ask somebody to help me carry a piece of paper. But in general, all of our giftedness work together to benefit and edify the church and lift up the church and encourage the church and to benefit him, the one who has called us to be the body. See, that Christ-centered servant does this to the body. Values themselves and values others. Because being Christ-centered is what that does. Being more Christ-like day in and day out. If we try to be that Christ-like servant, then we value other people. And we encourage them. And we edify them. We build them up. And we lift them up. They also, this Christ-centered servant also allows everyone to use their giftedness as a whole. See, there's great benefit to using all of our giftedness to serve him and his kingdom. Because it truly is not about you or me. It truly is about him and his kingdom. When we look at this Christ-centered servant. And lastly, when you look at a Christ-centered servant and we have a bunch of them, if we have a whole church of them, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find unity. You're going to find love. You're going to find strength. And I'm going to add one for Banner. You're going to find an hour after the service is over and the pastor shutting out the lights and turning off the doors, you're still going to be talking. Love, unity, strength, encouraging one another. You see, those moments are what it means to be a Christ-centered servant. But I want to give you a couple other examples of servants, not just from 1 Corinthians. But if you were to look at we'll call it an obscure passage. But if you look at Abigail, it's from 1 Samuel 25, and I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit here. See, she was gifted with the gifts of peacemaking. Peacemaking. So she used her giftedness to make peace between people. Baking bread and giving of bread. And helping out, righting wrongs, behind the scenes. She used her giftedness of peacemaking to glorify his kingdom. His people. His way. What about Tabitha in Acts 9? Again, more names that we don't normally speak of, but a small passage for using practical skills for sewing clothes to build relationships. There's a lot to this story, and this story could come out later on in another sermon, but I'm only going to reference the first verse, which is chapter 9, verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. She always was doing good works and acts of charity. That's the part I want you to focus on today. There's another really great story about how Peter raised her from death. But today I want you to focus on the idea of what it means to be Tabitha and use her practical skills to help out all those in need and in charity. See, it's not just about being the elder of the church. It's not just about being the elder wife of a church and being in that prominent role. It's about all the small things, the making the coffee, the handing out the bulletins, the making little shawls because the pastor has the air conditioner on too cold. Big shawls. It's about things like that matter. It's about making quilts and hanging out and making somebody's day because of that. Or doing flowers for a wedding because you're gifted in that way. You see, there's things like that we forget about how simple tasks can benefit the others around us. I think about a couple of the weddings that we've done as Banner just over the last few weeks and just how people come alongside one another. How some of Banner gifted people use their gifts with no value, money exchanging hands, just because they wanted to serve their church people. I think about our showers that we have here, whether it be bridal shower or baby shower, and the way that our ladies and men come alongside to serve one another. Use your giftedness, much like Tabitha, just to acts of charity and acts of compassion, acts of work. What about the deacons when they were selected in Acts 6? See, these deacons were selected in verses 2 through 3 in chapter 6. Then the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty." Who we can appoint to this duty. Because they recognize that the importance of studying the word and scripture and prayer is also important and highly important. But that it's also important to do the tasks that are necessary. So tell you this, that most of you are probably not gifted at teaching and preaching. But I would tell you that probably the more majority of you are extremely gifted in caring for one another, loving one another, having compassion for one another. So rise up and do it. Be the disciples that Christ made you to be. And serve one another and do these things. So those are just small examples of what it means to actually be the servants of the church. And if we're wrapping up here in the last few minutes here, God made us one body. We are many parts and many giftedness to make up that one body, but we have one goal. Serve Him and serve His kingdom. And if you hear me say, that has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Him and the way that He made you. Now, if you happen to be one of those competitive servants or lone ranger servants that you want to do it all on your own, take this piece of advice or leave it, whatever you'd like to do with it. Stop it. I don't have anything more clever to say. Just stop it. Realize that your brother and sister are sitting next to you. They love you. They don't want you to carry the burden all by yourself. And they want and ask that you invite them alongside of you. We have every reason in the world to serve Him. He has given us so much for what it means to serve Him. And He deserves our service. But sometimes Satan's little lies whisper in our ear and we think, well, that makes sense. Don't let Satan's lies and those twitches truths devalue you or stop your good intentions of serving Him. So I tell you, what happens is your good intentions are your well-intended things of like, I want to serve, but since somebody else is doing it better, there's no reason for me to do it. Those will reach and get the benefit of wrong outcomes because of those wrong thinking. See, be that Christ-centered servant. Be that Christ-centered servant that has been called by Him and allows everyone to use their giftedness freely and that you can encourage one another and edify the church. And let me finish off which is a reminder of why the 410 Project initiative is so important and so key and so integral to our future as Banner. If you look at our vision casting here in just a few weeks when we present it at the congregational meeting, and we look at the goals we have in mind, the goals that the congregation presented as a part of the vision process, it cannot be done by your elders. It must be done by the church. The 410 initiative is something that requires all of us to come alongside one another to make Banner the beacon of hope, the beacon of hope here in Byron Center that extends beyond this, because we have people that come from 30 to 40 minutes away every Sunday simply to be here. And that 410 initiative comes from 1 Peter 4:10. It simply says this: based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Let us seek Him in prayer. Father, thank You for all Your encouragement today from Your Word, from the way You guide and direct us, the way You offer us to an opportunity, the way You have gifted us, and those opportunities arise that we may serve You and serve You well. Not to benefit us, but to benefit You and Your kingdom and Your people. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen.